Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody that's here this evening in person. Glad to have all of you who are on all of our social media platforms. If you're on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, be sure to heart, to like, to share, subscribe, follow us there. Do all those things. It just helps to get the algorithms out, especially if you comment. If you have any prayer requests, let me remind you to go to Facebook, and that's where we'll be watching. I have my phone open to Facebook Live. That's where we'll be watching for any prayer requests that you may have, any updates to any prayer requests that you already maybe have given also. So please share those there on Facebook. If you don't have access to Facebook, you can do that on any of the other platforms. We just won't see it live. You can call the church office and give us that information also, and we'll be glad to get it on there and get it updated. And welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming service also. If you need that phone number, I'll be glad to give that to you so that you can use that. Want to encourage you too, while you're on the website there at highlandbaptistchurch.com, over under the info tab is the bulletin, the worship bulletin, as well as the children's worship bulletins. These are out here in the hallway, as well as at that door if you want to grab one tonight. Lots of upcoming things that you want to be made aware of and keep being reminded about. The children's worship bulletins, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. That's also under that info tab, and it's in the windowsill to my right also. While you're there also, you want to download the prayer list for tonight. We have added some updates to it, so you'll want to get a copy of that either on your device or print it off there at home. If you need that in person, they're on both sides at the front pew here that you can grab one of those, and we'll be going over that in just a little while. And while you're there on the church website, I want to encourage you to go to the far right-hand side, click the online giving tab there. You can do your regular online giving. You can do your online giving for the Golden Offering for Tennessee, so I encourage you for the missions there to do that. And this is that week of prayer for our Golden Offering for Tennessee mission, so I want to encourage you to keep praying for giving towards that mission. Just want to remind you of a couple of other things. We've got a deacons meeting coming up this Sunday, Operation Christmas Child. We're collecting different things than what we did last month. Last month was school supplies. This month there are those wow items that would go in the shoebox. So no bicycles or things like that. You can't put it in a shoebox. We want those kind of wow things. If it's a ball that can be deflated, that's the kind of things we'd want. Dolls, any kinds of things like that that a kid might love to receive on Christmas morning. And then also don't forget that we've got our security training coming up this Saturday. If you've not signed up, this is it. Tonight, let me know. Tonight we'll be making that reservation for our meals on Saturday, tomorrow, to get that ready for Saturday. And so that's going to be from 11 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the afternoon with a lunch there in the middle. That's going to be here. I guess we'll start here in the sanctuary and somewhere here, and you'll find us, everyone. All of us will be gathered as a big group, and then we'll go from there wherever our trainer leads us through. And then also just want to remind you of the upcoming 75th anniversary celebration. We've got the Perrys that are going to be singing. We've got Brother Matt Ledbetter, who's going to be sharing the message that morning. We've got several groups that from our church that are going to be singing. We want to encourage you to come. The meal is going to be catered, so you don't have to bring anything. There's going to be more than enough for everybody to eat. Come hungry, invite people to come. Tell them, hey, let's go eat a free meal. It doesn't cost them anything just to come and be here for our worship service. And then after the meal, so the meal is going to, we'll be announcing this Sunday what we're doing with the food. We're just trying to get a few last things confirmed on everything, and we'll let you know what that food's going to be. But after the meal, we're having an outdoor party with some of the inflatables. I think we'll have about 3 humongous inflatables. They're for age, for the littles all the way up to adults. There's some adult inflatable kind of things that we can do also. And so I want to encourage you to come. It's going to be a great time of fun, celebration of our 75th anniversary. If you've not gotten us those pictures that you needed to get to us, this is the last week of that to be able to get those, because we'll be using the next couple of weeks to finish printing and putting videos together and those kind of things. So hopefully you have gotten those to us. If you've not, please get that to me tonight, so that you can just send that to the church website, to the email that you see there on the screen, to amy@highlandbaptistchurch.com. You can send it to highlandbaptisttullahoma@gmail.com. Either one of those will work, and we'll make sure to get those included. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in our hymn of worship.
Good evening. I had a dear friend that I worked with all of my career at AEDC, one of the most brilliant analysis engineers that ever lived. I mean, he was great. But if you ever did anything that he thought was worthy, was a good thing, he would give you a gold star. And I would stick it, when I would get one, I'd stick it on my lamp. You know, I had one of those lamps that swung out, you know. But anyway, I say that to tell Brother Jim that your sermon topics and choosing a song for it, difficulty level, should earn you a lot of gold stars. Whew. Sometimes it's hard. Y'all take your hymnals and stand and turn to hymn 77. Miss Pat. Come thou long expected Jesus. Come thou long expected Jesus. Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth, thou art dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
Okay, hopefully at home you've had an opportunity to get your prayer list downloaded there. I've got even some have texted me even right before the service, so we have some current updates of a few that are on there too. So again, don't forget to go to our Facebook page there. That's where you can give those updates, and we'll be able to share those on the live tonight. So just to go through a few, because we have quite a few that I just want to give some updates on here. We're going to start on the Highland Baptist Church family side there with Brother, we'll start actually with Miss Kay Williams. We'll start there and then work our way down, because those are ones that I know we have some current updates on. Miss Kay, if you didn't get that call out, she did break her arm right below her shoulder. And so they're not going to do surgery, is the word that we got today. And so she's going to have to wear the sling for another 6 to 8 weeks, right, to allow that to heal. They think that will heal on its own. And so just keep her in your prayers. It's a long, hard road when you have something like that. Brother Roger has to pretty much be there to help her with a lot of those things. So just encourage you to be praying for Miss Kay and for him. Remember, Amy Jackson's in your prayer. She's having her immunotherapy treatments. She had one this past Friday and has had some adverse reactions to some of that these past few days. Her blood pressure went low yesterday and again this morning. And so they kind of got some of that a little bit regulated. They're still trying to figure out her, what is that threshold that when it gets to that she shouldn't take her blood pressure medicine. So just keep her in your prayer. She was extremely weak yesterday, but has been much better today. So keep her in your prayers. George Duncan is doing really good, recovering really well. So we just praise the Lord. He's actually out driving some, and so we praise the Lord for that. Continue to remember Ken Tatum. He has good days and bad days with his bone cancer, the chemo treatments, hurting in his back and such. And so keep him in your prayers, as well as Miss Diane, as she continues to caregive for him. Keep Miss Linda Miller in your prayers. We're still waiting to hear the word on her on exactly what they're going to do with her possible cancer. So they're 80% sure, the last I'd talked with her, that she does have cancer. So keep her in your prayers as she proceeds to go through whatever treatments and things that'll be coming in the days ahead. Leanne Wells messaged me right before the service and said that she got back from her doctor's appointment in Franklin today. The doctor said that she's doing well, needs to keep up her physical therapy, and eventually her leg won't feel longer than the other one. But he said just to be careful walking, and she goes back in 6 weeks. So thank you so much for your prayer. prayers for her as she's recovering and doing good too. Member Gordon Jackson, who's recovering at home, Miss Linda Jones, she actually was at Primetimers yesterday and has improved some from where she was, but keep her in your prayers. Tommy Griffin has back surgery coming up on the 26th in just about a week and a half here. So keep him in your prayers as he has that ongoing and coming up. And then also remember Cindy Ingram as she continues to recover at home. She's hoping to be here for that 75th anniversary celebration. Keep praying for Miss Beth Kidd. She's improving too. Jimmy Davis, they have scheduled his surgery. It says recovering from surgery, but they actually have scheduled his surgery for Friday. They're going to be doing triple bypass on him. So keep him in your prayers as they do that this Friday. And then also remember the family of Al Pender. We sent that call out earlier today. He passed away yesterday afternoon. They'll be meeting tomorrow to make the arrangements. And so after we know that, we'll send another call out with those arrangements. I do know that the arrangements will be in Huntsville. And so just to let you know that's where it'll be, so you can make plans to prepare for that. And I think the day that it's going to be is next Monday is what she had asked me about. So just wanted to make those things information to you there. Let me get back to the live here where I can see any comments. All right. So then any others that you need to share? All right. On our friends and family side, we'll just begin with the Music Search Committee. Keep them in your prayers as they continue to search for that person to lead our choir and our music program. Pray for Jack Young with his cancer, Tom Watson, Kinsley Williams, Phil Jones. Phil is still recovering at home. Rhonda Morris had surgery recently. John Sakich, he's still got a long ways to go, had several broken bones from a fall, so keep him in your prayers. Ella Fanning with cancer. Holly Dean, she's improved. The baby is doing good, and so we praise the Lord for that. Continue to remember Samantha's sister, Sherry McCulloch, in your prayers as she broke her hip. Still a long road of recovery for that. I remember John Robertson. This is the husband of one of our CDC teachers, Rita Robertson. He is having bypass surgery, so keep him in your prayers. And then also Ryan Gardner has had several issues, sepsis being one of those. He's a parent of one of our CDC children, so keep him in your prayers. And then Aurora Herring, who has medical issues. This is Miss Pat Williams' great-granddaughter. And then Randy Alexander, who is Miss Imogene's son-in-law. He had was working on some fence yesterday and got a bad splinter, long splinter, that went up in his arm, in his hand, and they couldn't do anything here at Harton with him here, so they sent him on to Vanderbilt to have surgery done on that. He had surgery done today. Everything went well with that. It took him longer than they expected because the splinter was longer than the x-rays showed for them to get that out. So everything stitched back up there. He's going to have some therapy to have to go through, so just keep him in your prayers. That's Erla's husband, if you make that connection there. Any others on our friends and family side? Any others you want to add or update? I don't see any others on our Facebook page either there. If you look at the nursing home list, keep Miss Bertie Davis in your prayers, Beverly Daniels in your prayers, Hoyt Farrell in your prayers, and Mary Lee Stringfield in your prayers. And then also, I'm sure some of you have heard of the tragic event that happened today with Charlie Kirk being killed by gunshot today at the University of Utah there. So keep his family in your prayers. He did pass away from that. So, any others? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer then, and then we'll come to our Bible study in Isaiah 61. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for the wonderful privilege that you have made a way of direct access for us to come before your throne of grace through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When the veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom, you gave us that access. And Father, I thank you for that we can come before your throne of grace. And as your scripture says, we should come boldly before that throne of grace, The thing that hinders us sometimes with that is our sin. And so, Father, I pray that if there is any sin in our hearts, that things we have committed against you, things maybe we didn't do that you commanded us in your word to do, Lord, cleanse us, forgive us, wash us as white as snow. Lord, set us on a path of righteousness and help us, Lord, to follow you each and every day. Lord, we ask for nothing to hinder our prayers with you tonight. We want to have those effectual, fervent, powerful prayers. And Father, we just pray that as your word says, that if we regard iniquity, sin, hold on to sin in our hearts, you will not hear from heaven. May we have a time of confession of our sin in our hearts right now. Father, we ask for you to forgive us, cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. Lord, you know the wickedness in our hearts even better than we do. And Lord, so if there is anything that maybe we haven't thought of that we have sinned against you in, bring those things into the light of the truth of your word in our hearts and our minds, that we might confess those things before you. And Father, we pray that you would hear our prayers. We are praying tonight, Lord, for many who are going through many illnesses, some a part of our church family, some of our friends and family, some of those who are in the nursing home, some, Lord, who have lost family members. We pray for you to send the Holy Spirit to comfort their hearts. Father, we pray that you will wrap your loving arms around those families and just embrace them in your love and your grace and your majesty. Father, I pray that they will find strength to press forward in the days ahead, in their moments and their times of grief. Father, I pray for those who continue to endure illnesses and still going through various treatments, some having upcoming surgeries. Lord, we just pray that you would be with those caregivers that are taking care of them, whether that's doctors or nurses or surgeons or caregivers at home. We just pray, God, that you will bless them and give them wisdom and discernment for the proper care for each one of these individuals. But Lord, we know that you are the great physician. And so we uplift them into your hands, and we ask, Lord, for you to bring the physical healing that they need to their bodies. Father, I pray that you will restore their health, Lord, that you will continue to show your power and your glory and your majesty. Lord, not for their name's sake, but for your name's sake. Lord, that we might use it as an opportunity, and they might in their lives use it as an opportunity to give you the glory for what you have done, the miraculous healings that you have brought about, so that it would continue to be a witness to a lost and dying world that desperately needs Jesus as their Savior. Father, we pray that you would be with these individuals and give them strength to keep pressing forward one moment at a time, one day at a time. Sometimes it gets difficult continuing to go through the struggles that we go through. And so, Father, I just pray that your grace will be upon them. You've told us in your word that your grace is sufficient for all of our needs. So shower them with your grace. Father, we pray for our church. We pray for the 75th anniversary that we've got coming up and the celebration there. Lord, we don't want it to be about us. We want it to be about you. And I pray, in fact, that's what it would be. We want to glorify your name in everything we say and do. And I pray, God, that this celebration will be a wonderful occasion for us, not only to honor the past, but Lord, also to embrace the future that you have for us, and to step forth into all that you would have us to be and all that you would have us to do in the months and years ahead, in the next 75 years. And so, Father, we just pray your blessings upon our church. That means blessing us, Lord, that we might be a blessing to others, because we are the church. And so, Father, I pray that you would be with our Awana kids tonight. This is their second week back, learning the Bible stories, learning the scriptures that they're memorizing. Father, I pray that you'll give our teachers a special measure of blessing to continue to teach the truth of your word to them. And Father, I pray that they will grow in that walk with you, and that those kids will come to faith in Christ by hearing the word of God and treasuring it in their hearts. Father, we pray for our youth. And Lord, we know the struggles so many times that our youth have with temptations and peer pressure to do things, Lord, that are against your will and against your word. And so, Father, I pray that you would be with our youth and send your Holy Spirit to strengthen them, Lord, to give them a passion and a hunger in their hearts to follow you more faithfully each and every day. And Father, I just pray for your blessings to be upon them. Lord, I pray that you'll raise up a mighty army in the name of Jesus Christ to use them, Lord, as they grow up to be the next generation of the church, to be a church that is faithful to your word, faithful to their relationships with you, and that they're making a difference in amongst their peers at school. Father, I pray for us tonight as we come together to study your word here in the book of Isaiah. Once again, I pray, God, that this word will just speak to our hearts. Flood us, Lord. With the presence of your Spirit in our hearts. Lord, prick our hearts of any sinful ways in our lives. Lord, show us the weaknesses that we may have. And Lord, where we're hurting, maybe where we're in pain in our hearts, Father, I pray that you would restore us and you would give us beauty for ashes, as we're looking at in this passage tonight. Bless your word tonight in a powerful way. May we see in this Old Testament passage the application that we need for our lives where we are right now and where we are even as a nation. Lord, may your will be done as we look at your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 61. We're primarily going to be looking at verse 1 through verse 3, but I do want to begin and read the entire chapter to you. There's a lot that is in this chapter, and we could spend several sermons going through this chapter, but I wanted to hit the biggest highlights here for us in this chapter in verse 1 through verse 3. So if you would, Isaiah 61, verse 1 down through verse 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. They shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. So as you look at this passage tonight, we're diving into especially these first three verses we're going to get to in just a moment. This is a passage, especially these first three verses, that Jesus himself quoted in the New Testament when he was in the synagogue, when he declared in in Luke chapter 4 and verse 21, he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This passage was written about 700 years before Christ, during Israel's spiritual decline, during the impending exile. And these verses are revealing the Messiah's heart. They're revealing his mission. the heart of his mission. In the Hebrew, the word Messiah means anointed one. And here we see Jesus as the anointed one by the Spirit, the one who will bring hope, the one who will bring healing, the one who will bring transformation. And so this passage is going to unfold in three parts, as we're going to look at those three verses in particular, that Christ binds up the brokenhearted, he proclaims God's favor and vengeance, and he gives beauty for ashes. You know, there are times in our lives when everything seems to have gone up in smoke. Our dreams collapse, our health fails, our relationships fracture. Sometimes it feels like all that remains are the ashes, the cold reminders of what once was, but is no more. Sometimes we think about that in life as we're raising our kids. You know, they're not those little babies that we once had before, the little toddlers or the little teenagers that they once before. And one day, for those who still have kids, they're going to be adult kids one day. And the thing, relationships change there. And so things that once were are no more. Well, the Bible uses this symbol of ashes here to symbolize mourning and shame or repentance. You think about when Job lost his family and all his possessions. What did he do? He sat in ashes in Job chapter 2 and verse 8. You remember in the book of Jonah, when Jonah went and preached, finally, after getting spewed out by the great fish, he went and preached to the city of Nineveh, and Nineveh repented of their sins, confessed their sins, and what did the people do? They put on sackcloth and ashes. Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. So ashes represent brokenness and emptiness and sorrow. But Isaiah gives us here a breathtaking promise that God doesn't leave us in our ashes. It's through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and that's what he's talking about here, that he offers for us a divine exchange. He takes what is ruined in our lives and gives what is radiant. He replaces our despair with joy, our mourning with gladness, our heaviness with praise. And so this passage here was so central to the mission of Jesus, as we said, that when he began his ministry in the synagogue in Nazareth, he read this from the book of Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, verse 21, said that scripture we read a while ago, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," and then he sat down. You know, this is the heart of the gospel. Jesus Christ came to give us beauty for ashes. He came to redeem the very places in our lives where we feel the most broken. And so the first thing we see in verse 1 is this, that Christ binds up the brokenhearted. Christ binds up the brokenhearted. The verse begins there, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." Now, we already mentioned that about the word anointing there. The Hebrew anointed points to the Messiah's divine commissioning. It was fulfilled when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at his baptism. His mission, what was his mission? His mission was to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. What is the good news to the poor? Well, the good news to the poor here are not just the financially needy, but the spiritually bankrupt is what he's talking about here. Those who need God's grace. They know they need God's grace. And so he's come to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring good news to the poor. Jesus, you think about some of the things that he did in his life and his ministry. One of the great ones that we remember is when he spoke and preached hope to outcasts, people like the Samaritan woman at the well, when he shared with her the gospel there and brought the good news to her in her poorness, her spiritual poverty in her life. He also says here in this verse, as Isaiah speaks this prophecy, that this Messiah is coming to bind the brokenhearted. Now, the Hebrew for bind up there means bandaging a wound, kind of like a doctor in taking careful care to bind up and take care of bandaging that wound. The brokenhearted are crushed by grief. They're crushed by guilt or life's trials. When Jesus comes, what does he do? He heals the sick. He forgives sinners. He comforts the grieving. And so he binds the brokenhearted. But the scripture also says that he came to give liberty to the captives. Now that's some echoes, if you will, of the year of Jubilee, Leviticus chapter 25, where slaves were freed. But ultimately, he's talking about spiritual freedom, that spiritually it's freedom from sin's bondage through Jesus Christ and his work upon the cross. You know, so picture a wounded soldier in battle. His injury is threatening to destroy him. If you don't take care of the wound, it festers. It gets worse and worse. But a skilled medic comes and cleans it, bandages the wound, restores hope. That's what Jesus does to our hearts. Our hearts are broken in sin. We are separated eternally from God. And he comes to bind up the brokenhearted. So let me ask you today, are you brokenhearted today? Are you broken by loss or shame or disappointment? The scripture reminds us not to hide our pain. He already knows it anyway. Bring it to Jesus in prayer. Psalm 34 verse 18 is a scripture we ought to go to regularly, even praying it, that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. So understand that when you're in your worst, that you feel in your heart the brokenheartedness, the Lord is near to you more than ever in those moments. You need to be reading God's word. You need to be bringing those needs to the Lord in prayer. You need to be involved in church for support, for Christian support. Christ's healing is for you. And that's the first thing that we see here, is that Christ binds up the brokenhearted. The second thing we see comes in verse 2, that Christ proclaims favor and vengeance. Notice verse 2 again. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So when you see that, and he's still going through that list of things that the Messiah is coming to do, he says, on one hand, he's coming to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. On the other hand, he's also coming to bring about the day of God's justice, of God's vengeance on his wrath upon our sin. And so the Hebrew word there, proclaim, implies a royal decree, a decree that is authoritative and binding. Now, that year of the Lord's favor, that refers to the Jubilee, a time of restoration for them physically, as well as he's talking about spiritually here, that Jesus is declaring that he is the true Jubilee. He is the complete Jubilee. He's the one who ultimately offers us forgiveness and freedom from our sins even now. Your sins can be erased through your faith in him. But then when he talks about that day of vengeance, the day contrasts with the year. So it's the year of the Lord's favor. It's the day of vengeance. So notice his judgment is coming, but his judgment is not forever for those, even those who are in Christ. His judgment is going to be swift. What Christ came and did on the cross was not drug out. He was immediately placed on the cross. He was judged for our sins. And there's a future judgment that is yet to come for those who reject Jesus Christ. And so God's vengeance is not something that's petty, not something that he's just arbitrarily picking out. It is a righteous judgment. He has declared to us in his word what is right and true and holy and just for us to do. We have before us the standards of God's word, and we need to live according to his words. But then he says, I know you're broken and you need comfort. So he sends comfort for mourners. Those who mourn over sin, those who mourn over sorrow, will find comfort in God's favor because of what Christ did, his sacrifice on the cross. Think about it. What he did on the cross, what was horrible to be punished in that way, that's what we deserve, But it's so glorious in that he took that and gave us a free gift of eternal life to bring us comfort from our sorrow in our sin. You think about a lighthouse in a stormy sea. To a lost ship, that lighthouse becomes a beam of salvation. It guides it to safety. But to a ship who sees that light of that lighthouse and chooses to ignore that light, it becomes a witness to his destruction. And Christ's gospel is like that. It's like that light. It's favor for those who accept him. It's judgment for those who don't. And so if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when Jesus comes again, that's going to be a glorious day for us. When you die and you pass on to be with him in eternity, if you're a believer and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, what a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. What a day that's going to be. But for those who are without Christ, yeah, what a day that's going to be. A day of judgment. And that's why one of the reasons I believe that God stays his hand of judgment upon us, because the scriptures tell us that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. We long for him to come, but I also long for family members and friends to come to faith in Christ also. And so we need to be praying for opportunities to extend the comfort of Christ. We need to share this hope with people who are hurting. We need to live gratefully, knowing that Jesus Christ bore the punishment for our sins upon himself. So the question for you tonight is, have you accepted God's favor through faith in Jesus Christ? The third point we see comes because everything we see throughout the Old Testament is pointing us towards Christ. And once again, in verse 3, we see that Christ gives beauty for ashes. And I want us to walk through this particular verse a little bit deeper here, because there is a lot of rich blessing in this verse in particular. This is one of those beautiful verses in the scriptures. We're going to see in this verse four great exchanges. From ashes to beauty, from mourning to gladness, from a faint spirit to praise, and from weakness to righteousness. And as we walk through this verse, think about these questions and ask yourselves these questions. Have I brought my ashes to Jesus? Or am I still holding on to those things when he stands ready to make the exchange with us already? So from ashes to beauty. One of the things we see here is that Christ is restoring our dignity. Notice that ashes represent more than just outward grief. They symbolize an inward loss. Think about the nation of Israel. They had lost everything. They're going into exile. The southern kingdom, the northern kingdom's already gone. The southern kingdom at this point is going. They're going to be there for 70 years in this exile in Babylon. And for them, it's going to be a great discouraging time. It's going to be a time of punishment in a sense, because that's why they're going into this exile. For Israel, to sit in ashes was to acknowledge we're broken. We're undone. We're empty. So think about ashes of grief. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you see that empty chair at the dinner table and that feels like an open wound. Or maybe it's ashes of shame. Maybe choices from your past that haunt you. You look back and you think, if only I had done this, or if only I had done that. You know, you can do that all day long. Maybe it's ashes of grief or ashes of shame or ashes of disappointment. You had dreams that never materialized. You worked for something only to see it crumble. The Messiah comes to give them, he says here, a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. Now, what is that? The Hebrew word here refers to a crown or a garland. You kind of think back to their Olympic kind of games that they would have when somebody won a game. They would put a wreath, a garland wreath on their head. It was a sign of victory. It was a crown or a garland of victory. It's the very opposite of disgrace. So that's what Jesus does. When Jesus comes into your heart and your life and you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, he takes away the shame And yet he doesn't just take that away, he gives you honor. He removes disgrace and he clothes you in dignity. Many people today struggle with their self-worth. They wear the ashes of rejection or failure or abuse, but in Jesus Christ, your identity is not determined by what others have done to you or what you have done in your past. Your identity is determined by the grace of Jesus Christ and his righteousness that's imparted to you. Your identity is determined by who you are in him, a child of God, crowned with glory and honor. And that's why when we read passages like where Paul talks to the New Testament church and to us as believers, as saints, we cringe at that and think, saints? I know I'm not a saint. I know my heart. I know my life. I know my sin, but my identity is not determined by what others have done or what I have done in my past. My identity is in Christ Jesus. Think about Job again. Job's story is one of the clearest pictures in all of Scripture of what it means to sit in those ashes. In Job 2, verse 8, after losing his children, after losing his wealth, after losing his health, you find him there sitting on that heap of ashes. And what's he doing while he's sitting on that heap of ashes? He's scraping at the sores that are on his skin with a piece of broken pottery. That image is in our mind as low as a man can go. Utterly broken, utterly humiliated, stripped of all dignity. But notice that the story of Job doesn't end in the ashes. After his season of suffering, the Bible says this in Job 42 and verse 10. It says that the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Wow. Later you read that God blessed the latter part of Job's life more than his beginning. And his beginning was pretty big. When you go back and look at all that he had in the beginning that he lost, it was huge. And now God blesses him with more in the latter half of his life. So understand that the ashes for Job were not the end. What the ashes were a turning point. Out of the ashes came beauty. Out of the brokenness came blessing. Some of us today feel like Job. We're surrounded by the ashes of loss, the loss of a loved one, the loss in marriage, or the loss of a job, or the loss of our health. But hear this, the same God who met Job in his ashes will meet you in your ashes. You may not see the restoration yet, but God is not finished with your story. Job went from ashes to beauty because God is the restorer. The same God who restored Job can restore you. So from ashes to beauty. Here's another thing we see about what Christ comes to do, to bring us from mourning to gladness. In doing that, Christ renews our joy. That's the second thing described in this verse. Notice in verse 3 there, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Now, in the scripture, the picture of oil there was used for healing wounds. It was also a picture of the Holy Spirit. It was used for consecrating priests. It was used to celebrate joyous occasions. The oil was the oil of gladness that was often poured out at times of festivity. So when God promises oil instead of mourning, he's saying, I'm going to heal your grief. I'm going to anoint you with joy. Now, that doesn't mean that we never grieve. That doesn't mean that we never have heartaches. You think about Jesus himself. When he was living, he wept at Lazarus's tomb in John 11, 35. Grief is a normal human response to loss, but God doesn't want you to stay in that. In Christ, grief is never the final word. He turns mourning into joy, not by erasing our loss, but by redeeming our loss. So you may be here tonight, or you may be watching online, and you may be in a season of mourning today. Maybe you're getting ready to bury a loved one, or you've just buried a loved one, or maybe some dream that you're mourning about in your life. Mourning is real, but it is not permanent. Psalm 30, verse 5 says this, weeping may tarry for a night, but joy comes in the morning. David wrote this also in Psalm 30, verse 11. He said to the Lord, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." Imagine David saying that after years of running for his life. You remember he lost a child because of his sin. And think about all the sin that he committed, his personal sin, his failure. And yet through all of that, he still discovered the truth that God can turn mourning into joy. William Cowper, the English poet and hymn writer, Brother Mike, lived much of his life under a cloud of depression. At times he was so overwhelmed by grief and despair that he even attempted to take his own life. On one occasion, he even ordered a carriage to take him to the river so he could drown himself. But the driver lost his way in the fog, and Cowper was delivered from his plan. William Cowper later became a close friend of John Newton, who encouraged him and helped him to see God's grace even in his suffering. And out of Cowper's ashes of despair came hymns of extraordinary beauty and hope. One of the most famous lines of one of his hymns says this: "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Think about that. A man who had been tormented by depression wrote some of the most hope-filled words ever sung by the church. His ashes became beauty. His mourning became gladness. So think about that. Maybe you're in that season of mourning or battling an inner darkness. Remember William Cowper, that God is able to take your deepest sorrow and to turn it into a song even that blesses others. God specializes in taking our tears that we shed and using them to water seeds of joy. There's a third thing we see in this verse that the Messiah is coming to do: to take us from a faint spirit to praise. He's come to revive our strength. The nation of Israel was in a difficult day. They were discouraged, and they were going into this exile and probably had been in some portion of this exile at this time. And he's reminding them, "I'm going to give you strength again." He continues here that he's going to give the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Now, faint spirit there is referring to heaviness, to discouragement, even depression. We might call it soul fatigue, if you would. It's when you wake up, you're already weary, when life feels too heavy to carry, but God says that he is going to replace that heaviness with the garment of praise. That even as a believer, when you're going through the worst of the worst of situations that you're going through, there is unreal that you could have a joy in the midst of those kind of things, a praise. And so notice that imagery. It's a garment. It's something you put on. Praise is not always a feeling. It's a choice. We choose to clothe ourselves in praise even when you don't feel like it. One of the greatest spiritual weapons you have in seasons of heaviness is your praise. Because when you begin to praise the Lord, you begin to think about the things to praise him for. You begin to think about all the blessings that he has blessed you with, and it begins to fade away all those other things. When you worship, you shift your focus from your problems to your provider, from your grief to God's greatness. Praise doesn't always change your circumstances, but it does change you in the midst of those circumstances. You think about this illustration.